But this week we're moving into winter again. Hallelujah. So just to recap what's happened over the past couple weeks is a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, I brought a message that was called ACT. And what I was talking about, basically action that we take is acting on what we believe. Okay? Last week, Pastor Weldon brought a message called ACT, Today's Ministers. And what he was saying is that in the book of Acts, that was the actions of all of the believers over those 28 chapters of what they acted on in their belief through Jesus Christ and the power through him, right? And so he was declaring and stating and accurate to the word of God that we are all ministers. Regardless of your training, regardless of your background, when you make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, you now are not only, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation, but you are now a minister, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18, which says that we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and now have received the ministry of reconciling those who don't know Jesus Christ to God. Amen? Amen. So, does not matter your background. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, all of us are a mouthpiece for Jesus. Okay? All of us are to be that living epistle, that living letter that says, Jesus loves you, and then show them. And so also one of the things that Pastor Weldon was talking about last week is, and you've heard this many, many times, people would much rather see a Christian in action than hear one. Okay? Because a lot of times we can provide lip service to individuals, but we don't really measure up to it. And so we're really good at preaching it and everything, but we fall short living it. And so, you know, we're to be that living letter of God. And this isn't a bondage or anything. And hopefully today I can point out some things that bring it more to your light. So the title of today's message is On Display. And where I came up with the title of this is I was thinking about what Pastor Weldon said last week. And he said, by our lifestyle, people will be drawn to what we have. People are going to want what you have based on your lifestyle being just awesome, right? Not a heavy, but you have joy when it doesn't really seem like other people should have joy. You have peace that passes all understanding and they can't figure out why. You love people and it's not based on what they've done for you. You just love people. And then they see the fruit of all of that coming to fruition on this blessed life that you're living and they're like, oh my gosh, man, I want what you got. So 11 years ago, when I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was sitting in Chaplain Chuck's house in a Bible study, and I was looking at all these men in there, and I was in Bible study with Pastor Weldon and Chaplain Chuck and a few other people. Maybe some of them aren't even here right now. And in the process of that, Jesus Christ wasn't my Lord and Savior, but there was just something about them. And there was something about this God and this Jesus that they gave glory to and spoke about. And I was just like, I was intrigued. And so I just kept going to Bible study. It started early January, February, just a few weeks of going to Bible study in church. I'm sitting there at the end, and they're asking for prayer requests. And I said, man, you guys are always talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. How do I become a part of that, you know? And anyways, 11 years later, that's all she wrote, man. I've just been on fire ever since. And it's just an absolute change. But not only did I change inside, but my entire life and family unit changed. And there's been amazing things. And since then, every sister that I have in California has come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I baptized all of them in the oceans, one in the Bahamas, two in the oceans of California. I have a niece getting married this August, and she says, she didn't call me Pastor Mike, she says, Uncle Mike, can you come on out? And I want you to do a blessing as part of my wedding, but her aunt, who was one that I led to the Lord and baptized in the Bahamas, is performing the wedding, okay? Is performing the wedding. And then she says, but before all of this happens, I was never baptized in water. Uncle Mike, can you baptize me in the ocean? And I'm like, yeah. But regardless, it's changing, and people, I don't beat anybody over the head, you know, with a Bible, and none of us should. We should just live out these things. So here's the deal. Whether you like it or not, people are watching you. See, here's one of the things that's one of the biggest travesties of Christianity is somebody says, I'm a Christian, but yet they don't live it. Okay, because what happens now is they say, yep, you're one of those hypocrites that I've always learned to detest, and I don't want anything now to do with the church. And so what happens in that position is the church body as a whole is missing out on so many beautiful people because we don't act on the self-control that's already been given to us through the Holy Spirit, or the patience that we have that's already been given to us through the Holy Spirit. And who is it hurting? It's hurting the body of Christ because we've set examples that are not right. When I worked in a psychiatric unit, we used to tell people every morning, we would say, I want you to set a goal for the day. But this goal needs to be realistic and obtainable. And I just challenge us, each and every day, we should set a goal. And this goal needs to be realistic and obtainable. Today, Lord, I give my life to you. And Lord, use me on this day. You know what? When you ask God to use you, wow, watch out. But now you've done two things. You've put yourself on display for God to use you. And guess what? He will use you. But if you do that and you practice that, a couple weeks ago I was talking about how the scripture says, practice these things that you've heard. And so if we practice these things that we have heard, things start to align, and the beauty and glory of God is released on us, and we start to live out this abundant life that He's wanted for all of us for so long, right? Not just to be saved, but to be more than that. And then I come to this realization that before we live a lifestyle that people would want, we need to know what it is that we have. Does that make sense? It's like, well, you tell me to live this lifestyle, but what is it exactly that I have? And so it takes me to Scripture, and this is Scripture that is in Romans 5, starting at verse 15, and I'll be reading through to verse 18. And what this is talking about is who we were once in Adam and who we are now with God. Adam, representing that thing outside of God, the fallen, the sin, the things that we are a part of, and then God representing all of that abundance that we have through Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? So verse 15 says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. Everybody say, God's grace is greater. It's greater than. It's greater than your weakness. It's greater than your strengths. It's greater than your pride, your pity, whatever it may be. God's grace is bigger than anything that happens in your life. It's His wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift, everybody say free, free gift leads to our being made right with God. We're made right with God. We now are not a child of Adam and that old life, but we're now a child of God. Even though we are guilty of many sins, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace. Says it again. And His gift of righteousness, we're all right with God. Say, I'm right. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Let me ask you right now, have we received the ministry of condemnation?
No.
Huh. Right? Is it lining up for you? But through this old way, it brought condemnation for all of us. But because of Jesus Christ, and here we are, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God, a new life for everyone, which takes us back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation. We all have this new life in God. That's the number one thing that we first have to recognize when we're talking about living a lifestyle. Why would we live a lifestyle that glorifies God? Well, number one, we've been freed from so much stuff. Why wouldn't we want to? Why wouldn't we want to glorify Him? Why wouldn't we want to love Him? Why wouldn't we want to do sacrificial things where maybe I really want to do this, but you know what? This would bless somebody else. Why do we do those things? We do those things because of the gratitude in our heart that we have for God. Can you turn this bank of lights off right here, please? I'm also going to ask, if it shows up good, if you can pan that over to this so that they can see it. If people on Facebook can't see that, then they just listen, because I don't want it to look goofy. Anyways, so we are now God's children. Amen? Amen? And when we're God's children, a few things start to take place. So what we have as Adam's children is what we're going to be talking about versus what we have as God's children. I'm doing PowerPoint, man. This is pretty big, okay, guys? All right. So what we have as Adam's children, the first thing is ruin. Before I came to Jesus Christ, I thought everything was together, but the reality is my marriage was getting ruined. I was ruining my kids. I didn't know it because I was just living like everybody else, right? But the reality is it's so much more fruitful through God. What we have when we're God's child is rescue. So on that day in February in 2007, man, I was rescued. My wife was rescued the same month. Although she grew up in the church all her life, she was rescued. Changed completely, and that's what you have. So now again, what it is that you have so that you live a lifestyle, you're rescued. What it looks like in with Adam, just sin. God is, you know what, it's not sins, it's sin. And that's not making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. That is the only sin people are accountable to prior to making Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, is they just don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay? But what happens when we become God's child is we have this place of righteousness now. And this place of righteousness isn't your own doing. It's not because you're so good at what's happened. It's because Jesus Christ is so good. And now you stand in a place of right standing with God. Jesus Christ is our mediator, the intercessor. The only reason we can go to God is because we're right with Him. And the only reason we're right with Him is because Jesus Christ has taken all of our sin, filth, and guilt and removed it as far as the east is from the west. What we were having when we were living in the world through Adam, death completely. But through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. So we're talking about hope. We're not talking about a wish. We're talking about a confident hope that when I go, I'm going to be up there with Jesus and God and all those believers that have gone on before me. I'm going to be up there with my wife because she knows Jesus. I'm going to be up there with my kids because she knows Jesus. So regardless of what's taking place down here, I've got a place of eternal life. This is a brief moment of vapor in the wind, just a second of what true life is really about, guys. But yet, because God loves us so much, He's given us the ability to have heaven on earth when we live a place of righteousness, and that's with Jesus Christ. What happened? I know. What we have is, wow, we have separation from God. Separation from God when we were with or away from God, living as Adam. And what we have with is a relationship with God. Now, I'm going to touch on that a little bit further, okay, later on. But when we have a relationship with God, oh, I'm not talking about religion, guys. I'm talking about a relationship that I talk to Jesus like He's my best friend. Why? Because He's my best friend. You know, God, I love You. I love You. Why do I say that? Because I love Him. Why, man, God, I'm so thankful. Why do I say that? Because I'm grateful. I have a life of gratitude because I know what I was taken out of and what I have now. Man, So that in turn puts me in a place of going, you know what? Wow, I really can live a lifestyle that's upright, and I really can use some self-control in areas that my flesh is saying, nah, go ahead and do it. You know, Bible says all things are permissible. They're not all beneficial, but they're all permissible. Go ahead. Listen, grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is gratitude. Grace is Jesus Christ. With Adam, we had disobedience. I wasn't following anything. Why? Because I didn't want to. I didn't want to come to God. Why? Because I could do it on my own. I was filled with pride. I was filled with all kinds of stuff. What we have with God is obedience. This isn't a bad thing. So the title of the message, On Display. Listen, people are looking at you regardless. If you say, I'm a Christian, if you say, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, you've already put a target on you that says, I'm going to watch them and see what happens. Regardless, don't have it be a heavy burden, because it's not when you're living in the fullness of God with a relationship. You know when it's a burden? When you're living a religious lifestyle. That's when it's a burden, okay? Through Adam brings judgment. Through God brings deliverance. Amen? Who feels delivered from where they used to be? Is that not something to be excited about? See, what happens is complacency, or let me say this, familiarity breeds complacency. And when you get familiar with your salvation, at that point it's kind of like, I'm saved, and you get complacent in what you got. But if you wake up with an attitude of gratitude every morning and you're like, God, man, you know what? Wow, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my children. When you start living and you realize what you've been delivered from and delivered now to, see, we were delivered to something. We were taken from one position and placed in another position. That's why it's called delivered. It's like the UPS or the post office, right? They take a package and they deliver it. They take it from a place where it was and they take it to a different area to where it now is. We were all in one place. That was outside of the kingdom of God. Been delivered now to a place in the kingdom of God with a right relationship. It doesn't get any better than that, guys. With Adam, we're under law. We're under a place of just complete disarray, trying to follow rules, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, and we find ourselves being condemned. And with God, New Testament church, we're under the grace of God, not by what you do, purely by your acceptance of Him. Amen? Amen. Okay. As we're looking through that, it takes me to a scripture. Turn the light back on, please. It takes me to a scripture in Ephesians. And I'm in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. So we're all children of God. We've got all of these beautiful benefits. We've been rescued. We're righteous. We have eternal life. We have a relationship with God. We've received this obedient life, and we've been delivered, and now we've also received this grace. This is our lifestyle that we need to be looking at. And then we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Okay, what do I have? You have every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. You've got it. Not tomorrow. Right now. Right now. Okay? It's a part of you. It's right here, right now. And it's in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. There's a teaching for you. We are holy and without fault in God's eyes, not by what we're doing. We're holy and without fault because of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Are you with me? It is all because of what Jesus did that makes you right, holy, and blameless. You're like, but I'm not living a holy life. Yeah, which means you're not living an abundant life. But you're still right with God. And that's what you cannot forget. And when you start believing right, you start living right. Do you hear me? But if you don't believe the right way and it's all about what I've got to do and got to do and got to do, then all of a sudden you start getting burned out, you start getting bummed out, and all of a sudden the things that you were trying to do that were good don't seem to be as fun anymore, and it's like, whatever, I just give up because I couldn't do it anyways. And that's what has happened throughout religion, because the set of the standards and rules without a relationship have made the Word of God, the traditions of man, have made the Word of God of no effect according to Scripture, because we're trying to do all this stuff minus the relationship. Check it out. So Stephanie is my wife. I'm her husband. If Stephanie and I got together and our marriage was based specifically or strictly on rules, and the rule is, you know what? You will love no other person. You're going to have one husband. I'm going to have one wife. You're not going to commit adultery. Don't cheat on one another. That's the rule. And we just had a marriage based on a rule. How long do you think that would happen? That's like having a sign outside of a glass house saying, don't throw rocks. Okay? Somebody's going to go by and they're going to pick up a rock and they're going to throw it. But because our marriage isn't based on rules, our marriage is based on love and a relationship, the rule of not cheating on one another is a byproduct of our relationship. Do you see how that works? That is the same way with God. Because I love God and have a relationship with God, following the rules are just a byproduct of loving my God. I'm not in bondage to having one God. I'm not in bondage to not lying and not stealing and not cheating and all this other stuff, because I've got a relationship with Him and I'm so in love with Him. All that other stuff is just, man, that's just a good byproduct of living that way. I'm not just told I have to do it. You know, it's like our children. You need to do this. Why? Because. What if it was always just a because and you never got an explanation why? What I'm trying to do right now is give you an explanation why. Why do I do things, or should we do things that are right with God? Those things that are good, just, right, and noble. Anything of a good report, think on and do as well. You know why? It's because the love that we have. So where was I in here? Verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. You guys, can you imagine God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things that we know, it gives Him great pleasure that you're a part of Him? God is happy right now. God is happy that you have made Him Lord and Savior of your life. That's not small. I live a lifestyle the way I live it because God's happy with me. God accepts me in my shortcomings. God loves me. That's what you guys need to be telling yourself. God loves me. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. You ever wake up and say, Jesus, I belong to You today? One of the worship songs today, I give my life or something like that, or I'd die for You, or however that song went. PK's not here. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. That was part of like communion message today. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So, what do you have? You belong to God. He has showered, and He's happy about it. He showered His love on you, His kindness, and all understanding and wisdom has been showered upon you. That's what you have, meaning you have the understanding and the wisdom to know right from wrong. You have the understanding and wisdom to know real love and fake love. You have the ability, the God-given ability to make the right decision. Think about that. And it's not a burden. It's not a heavy. It's an easy thing. When you take grace out of the equation, you're left with religion. When you take grace out of the equation, you're left with religion. So it takes me to a place of now comparing religion and grace. Turn this light off, please. Religion. We can say versus grace. The key to religion, this is the number one key to religion. Do. You need to do it. You need to do it. You need to do it. And if you're not doing it, you need to do it. And if you're not doing it good enough, you need to do it better. Because that is the only way you're going to have a relationship with God and be right with God is if you do everything right. Huh. Grace? Done. It's done. It was done through Jesus Christ. Yes, it's finished. Did not Jesus Christ say, "It is finished"? Meaning we don't have to go and sacrifice animals every time we sin. It was done once and for all. I've said it. Pastor Weldon said it. We'll say it again. You cannot crucify Jesus again. It's been done once and for all. The focus of religion is outward. It's a look at me. Check me out. Look what I've done. Aren't I so good? I'm a Christian, but yet living completely opposite of it. Or the outward focus would be the Sunday church face that you put on to come to church on Sunday and living like hell the rest of the week. It's outward. But there's a reason why it's a do and an outward. And that main word is relationship. You haven't come to that place. Grace is inward. It's a change of heart. It's a Jesus Christ, come and live with me. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin, of unbelief. Thank you for making me new and changing me. Do I believe it? I believe it. I am not the same person I was. I can do different things. I am better than I once was. Not pompously better, because I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. I'm thinking, God, that I'm better for myself. I'm not what I used to be, man. I'm filled with the glory and joy and wonder of God. And I appreciate things so much more, because when I look out, I don't look necessarily as the world looks. I see people, not junk, not messed up stuff. The foundation of religion is rules. The foundation of grace is relationship. If you do this and you look good, if you wear a suit every Sunday, and I used to say this, if you polish a turd, it's still a turd. Meaning if it looks really good on the outside, it's still what it was, okay? That's why we have to become new, all right? So the foundation, we got rules, look at me, and I'm going to do all this stuff, and that's going to make me right with God. With grace, which is what we have through Jesus Christ, get that, what we have through Jesus Christ is grace. The key is it's already been done on the cross. The focus is inward. Man, I am changed because of the love of God. And the foundation is I've got a relationship. The motivation behind religion is shame. Shame on you. You should have been able to do better. Why can't you do better? Why can't you just follow these simple rules? Why can't you follow all 613 of these rules? The only one who ever did was Jesus. But why can't you do it? Didn't you receive all the power of Jesus? You should be able to follow every single rule. And Jesus is up there going, guys, get it? You're not listening to me. It's not about the rules. It's about loving me. And all this stuff is a byproduct. All this stuff just happens. The motivation behind grace is gratitude. Man, it's done with Jesus. I've changed my heart. I'm in a relationship. And I am thankful. I am thankful. That's why I'm living a lifestyle that says that. And the feeling, who likes feelings? I like feelings. I love to feel the presence of God. I mean, I love it, you know? The feeling behind religion is fear and frustration. Oh my God, God hates me. If I don't do this right, God's going to smite me. He's going to strike me with lightning. Oh, now we're talking about religion. These people are technically already saved, okay? But they're still living in fear. And then they're frustrated because they can't keep all the other stuff going on. I got to do this. I got to look good. I got to follow these rules. Oh, I'm so shameful. Oh my gosh, now I'm just frustrated. You know what? Forget it. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm not even going to try anymore. I couldn't do it before. I can't do it now. Why even try? Because they don't know the power of God that lives in them because they don't have a relationship. Does this make sense? Grace brings freedom. Ha. I'm free. The outcome of religion. This is it, guys. The outcome of religion is pride. Look what I did. I am so good. Look at me. I followed this certain rule. I became a deacon. I became an elder. I became this. I became that. Now you carry my Bible. Pride. And then on the other hand, they feel guilty because they still fall short and can't make everything else. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the learned ones, the ones that knew all of the Old Testament, still couldn't keep all the rules. But yet they lambasted every single individual that couldn't keep the rules. You're just no good. They would put them in shame. They would make them feel guilty, and yet they still couldn't do it themselves. We need Jesus. The outcome of grace. What is it? Faith, hope, and the outcome of grace is love, guys. The ultimate thing of all that we have encompassed, we have this done work, this inward change of heart, this relationship. We have gratitude and we have freedom, all because of the love of God. Who what? Loved us first. Our example and our lesson. Turn the lights on, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. A note for it. It says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm? Let's break that down. It means that Christ, in Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing God. You have all the benefits of knowing Him. Being chosen for salvation, being adopted as His children, you have forgiveness, you have insight, you have the gifts of the Spirit, you have power to do God's will, you have the hope of living forever with Christ, and because we have this intimate relationship with Christ, we can enjoy these blessings now, right now. And the heavenly realm means that these blessings are eternal and not temporary. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to lunch early. Stand to your feet. We're going to close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful. I'm going to start with the closing of this prayer out of Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He equip us with all that we need for doing His will. And Father, I thank You that You have done so. Father, I thank You that You have produced in us and through us the power of Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, that every good thing that is pleasing to You, Father, we can put into practice. All glory goes to You, Lord. Father, I am so grateful for my brothers and sisters that are here right now. Father, for those watching on Facebook, God, I thank You that in You we are Your children, that in You we have eternal life, we have Your grace through Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your relationship. Thank You for the ability to just know You and praise You. Thank You, God, for Your blessings that are eternal and right now. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Father, I pray that You protect each and every one that's here and their families. And Father, on this day, we thank You. And from this day forward, we give You all the praise and glory. Use us, Father God, to do Your work. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.